Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This could definitely be our year. How you going, guys? It's Lakey or Semi or whatever you want to call me here. Filling in for the ever reliable or ever unreliable in this case, JT. Couldn't make it tonight. Rumors have it that he's fallen in love with a cowboy man and run off to elope somewhere. So I've brought in some experts to help me, or an expert. The mailman himself, Stylesy. How you doing, big fella?
Good, mate. How's it going? It's good to have the two of us filling in for the great JT.
The great JT, as say, the two of us aren't fit to carry his jockstrap, but we'll get through it. We'll survive. How's your week been? How was your weekend with Supercoach? And you were doing your job, so to speak, from a Bucks party, I understand. How's the head and how's the recovery?
Look, I got through it all. I was actually pretty impressed. I think I only stuffed up one position and no one really called me out on it. So couldn't have asked for a better outcome from that. We were doing pub golf from about 12 p.m. So, yeah, fair bit to get through. But I set up all my templates and had it ready to go to give myself the best possible chance. So hopefully got through it for the punters.
Jesus, mate, you've done super well. I kept seeing it drop in across the weekend, and I thought it's still coherent. I couldn't understand why I couldn't understand it. So you've either had a very quiet evening or you're just the ultimate professional, which is something we're not used to around these parts. So kudos to you.
No, we'll go with the latter, mate. I preloaded everything I could. I think I copped a couple of stroke penalty on the pub golf for being on my phone because there was no phone rule. So
the things
I do for the people, mate.
The people, mate. The people come first.
That's it.
Forget your mate who's getting married. He's got to ruin his life anyway.
Him.
So listen, we'll jump straight into it. We've got a fairly big one considering the week that it is. We're going to go through a bit of a rundown of the people's team. I thought since we've got the mailman on board, we'll pick his brain, anything we should know, any of late mail or early mail from the weekend coming. We'll talk a little bit about our cheapies, who we should get in, who you should get out, and we'll finish the week with what our plans are. How's that sound?
Yep, let's do it, mate. Ready to go.
Unbelievable. Let's get it done. The people's team, as I said, we're we're doing all right. We've scored an 11.25 this weekend. We dropped a 4,000 places in the rankings to be just outside the 6K, which is far, far better than I'm doing. So I can only applaud everyone out there making the right choices, picking the right captains, making the right trades. How do you sit compared to these guys?
Mate, I wish I had the people's team.
Doesn't it look good?
It came out of the gate strong, didn't it? Dropped off a little bit last round, but you can't argue with the collective brain power of the SC Tour community, mate. They're doing better than I am.
Exactly right. And I saw the post went up by Wenin this morning about how it was going, and the pundits are already in there making comments and getting the net ball rolling. Trades will be big importance this week to that team and obviously captain throughout the week. So you can vote on those in the buy, sell, hold when Carlos drops that. I believe he's doing that tomorrow morning or around lunchtime, and I'll be putting my stuff out on Thursday again. So you can make those votes there and have your say on the people's team. Moving along to our man here, Stylesy. He's the absolute guru when it comes to all the late mail or early mail or any mail. got a finger in every pie across the league, it seems. I don't know how you do it, but you're on the ball with everything. So is there anything we need to know heading into week three?
Well, leading in, I think a lot of the news came out pre-teams. So things like Faitala Marinus Foot, we know he's out for 3 to 4 months. We had Chanel Harris-Tavita out 3 months as well. One of the running jokes last year with JT was stay away from anyone who's in my draft side. So have a guess at some of the players in my draft side. Faitala Mariner, Chanel Harris-Tavita. I had Andrew Davey. I picked him up. I've got Ponga, who's not back yet. So everyone beware of bringing in Mitch Barnett and guys like that, because I've got him kicking around as well.
Oh, God, mate. You're doing worse than the banner.
I've got Staines too, so he'll probably bow out for a one this week. But something that didn't really come up pre-teams news was the Storm dropped a bit of an injury update. So I think I saw Harry Grant round 5 at the earliest, so still a little bit away for him. Dale Finucane was 2 more weeks minimum. So for anyone with Christian Welch or probably to a lesser extent, Brandon Smith got at least another couple of weeks with them in the roles they're currently in. Branko was looking like round 4. And on the Knights front, I saw our mate Barry Toohey was saying that there's a chance Barnett could keep the kicking duties when Ponga's back if he keeps banging them over from the sidelines like he has been. So that's very promising. And probably one sort of out of the blue one, there was something doing the rounds about Cody Walker, like getting a high ankle sprain or something out 6 to 8 weeks. But I think it was just a bit of a G-up. I haven't seen anything substantial around that. But I did see that doing
the
rounds.
Heard of it. The very first I've heard of it. So I'd be surprised if Cody Walker was out, it would be everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I think someone posted it on one of the Facebook groups, and that was sort of the first I saw it. And apart from a couple of people asking questions around it, it was apparently a 9 news update. So you'd imagine 9 would have had that post ready to go were it true. But yeah, I haven't seen anything substantial around that one.
Yes, and the big media is very reliable when it comes to all the NRL news.
100%.
So nothing else of interest to us. I note you said Welch is still a good option for those that have him until Finucane gets back. Do you know what the plans are? Finucane will be back. He played primarily lock last year, if I recall.
Well, when I did the mega guide, there was chat at the time of him playing through the prop rotation anyway. So in my predicted side, I had him coming off the bench with basically what we're looking at now. So, I mean, there's a chance it could still happen if they want to keep him fresh and maybe keep his minutes a bit lower to just trot him out off the bench to play 40 or 45 through the front row rotation.
Yeah, that's it. And it's an old man calf injury that he's got, so they're always tricky. They might want to temper that when he comes back. But I guess what I was thinking of for those Welch owners, he's doing pretty well at the moment. If Finucane does come back and steal a little bit of his thunder, we've got your big boy Payne Haas returning next week. Could be a bit of a straight swap there.
Well, that's what I saw Welch as anyway. I was hoping just for maybe a month or a little bit over of bigger scores to make that bridge a little bit closer to Payne Haas when he came back. So if he can, like, he's got a break even of 37, so not too bad. He should get a little bit of an uptick, particularly if he stays a bit closer to last week's score than his week one score.
Well, he did that in torrential rain, so if he can do that in the dry again, we'd be very happy. All right, mate, like, it's the most important week of the year for Supercoach outside of the first week and getting your team set. But this week, 2 weeks into the year, the prices are about to change. What's your strategy around trades? Do you go all out in this week, or do you still play it as it lies and make trades only as needed?
No, I think you've got to use both this week. Last week, knowing kind of what we know now with players, cheapies with question marks on them like Ryan James and that sort of thing, I'm normally an advocate of not spending trades in the first week just to see how things shape up. But I think this week you definitely have to spend the 2 to fix up the cheapies who you may have picked wrong, or we're already in it in injury carnage. We've got Matto out. We've got Nathan Cleary potentially out and all sorts kicking around, and it's only round three. So you would have had to pick a very lucky side to not have to use both of your trades this round, I think.
Yeah, and that's it. If you're at the top end and you're doing that without Nathan Cleary, bully to you, you've done fantastic. But he's far and away the best halfback option. I don't think there's another guy within Kui of him in the halfback position.
Yeah, I haven't checked like the averages all guys, but he was the one. Like even with Teddy at fullback, you've got, even though he's far and away the best one, you've still got other like high performing fullbacks. But at halfback, it's just Cleary or nothing really. It's just a wasteland for premium options. Apart from Michael Morgan, as JT would have chimed in just then had he made it.
Of course he would have, and that's why we booted him. I've just brought up the stats on the side. Nathan Cleary's in 55% of teams, and he's actually been outscored by 2 points by Luke Keary, who only just under 9% of teams. So if you took the pod route there, you're winning. You're well and truly winning. You're 200K in the better and 2 points up. Slightly behind those two on 1 point behind Nathan Cleary is Ben Hunt, surprisingly.
Outrageous.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? He had a 116 last week, which has really pumped his score, but he's doing pretty well, only in 2% of teams. So those guys got himself a real good pod there.
That's a bold call to start with him, though, so kudos to those super coaches.
Either ex-Broncos fans or Dragons fans, that's all it can be.
It's definitely not ex-Broncos fans.
There we go. Maybe Cowboys fans. Maybe JT's got a soft spot for him.
Potentially.
As you just said before, the fullbacks and they're all doing pretty well. I was having a look over them this afternoon while doing my captain's research, and it just, you've got three guys there, Teddy, Puppy, and Latrell, all sort of different price ranges, but they're all just killing it to start the year. You know, Teddy's gone a 137 average, Puppy's at 99, and Latrell's at 93, which is great for their price points. And they're all sub 20 break evens coming into this week. And what do you do if you're not on one of those guys?
Oh, you just have to be. Like, fullback's one of those positions you don't mess around with. You just, it often doesn't pay to pot up. Like, those who were skipping Teddy, hoping he'd come down in price after a quiet start because he had these figures from previous years where he might have started slow. He's got one of the better break evens for his position and will probably crack the million at some stage. Pappy was very popular. Probably the one out of those is Latrell. I think a few question marks on him coming in, coming back from injury. Didn't set the world alight last year, but he looked really good in the Charity Shield. So I think a few would have taken a punt based on that, and he's definitely repaid the faith for those owners.
Yeah, exactly right. And he was at mid-60 score last week, I think, and he got sin-binned, if I recall.
Yeah.
So, you know, missing 10 minutes plus 8 points or something for that, and he's at a 93 average still. That's incredible.
I was on that, like we know, I was on that pub crawl, and I was with a mate who had Latrell in draft, and he came over at one stage of the afternoon, and he goes, mate, have a look at the most Latrell-like result ever. And it was, yeah, great scoring, sin bin, minus 10, try or something. I'm like, yep, 100%, that is what you signed up for.
Well, that's it. He's a bit of a roller coaster in itself. But what Latrell's doing this year with his work rate is something we haven't seen from him before. So I have no doubt that he can kick on and make a big year of it. But, you know, if you don't have these guys, maybe you're holding out for a Turbo or Ponga, and they're just around the corner too. So it's an incredible market we've got for those guys and only two positions to fill. It makes it super difficult.
Yeah, that's the trickiest. Like, we need more of these. Like, when Tommy Turbo was centre wing fullback, and a couple of those when you could actually fit him in. But a lot of the best talent in the game is like under 5% ownership, just because you can't have them all. So seems like a waste of talent. But here we are.
Yeah, and anyway, we'll move on. I could gush over these guys all day, but we'll move on. That's not what we're here for. Coming into round three, you want to be on the money makers. There's plenty of them. We've got a good list of cheapies, especially in the centre wing. But it's a massive gamble at the moment. Centre wing roulette. Who are the good and who are the bad?
Well, I think Tessie Niu sort of stuck his nose out in front in those stakes last round for mine. Like, he put up a cracking score in what was a, well, for the first 34 minutes was a pretty closely fought game, and then it was just absolute floodgates after that. But he finished on 92, which owners are very happy about, and there's a lot of them. So he's got a minus 48 break even. Dane Laurie as well, obviously killing it as fullback for the Tigers there. And then after those two, for cheapies at centre wing, it kind of falls off a fair bit. You've got Roberts, who didn't play with his shoulder injury. You've got Staines, who's pumping out a whopping 14 in 280 minute performances. Fuzetu has not really done anything so far. So you've got some elite options there, and then some ones who are probably going to need a few tries and be moved on quickly.
Yeah, that's it. And that's kind of what we rely on with these center wing guys. They can fall over the line at any stage. And JT and I talked about it ad nauseum last week, that you just don't get rid of them this early in the year because it only takes that one game to turn it around. And I know many people were considering booting Tessie last week because he was underperformed in round one. But, you know, you'd be kicking yourself watching that Friday night game, you know, and seeing what he was doing.
Yeah, that would have been a real rough watch. I think with these guys, you're right. Like, if we're looking at cost of a trade, it's unless you, for some reason, can foresee, like, that they're definitely not going to score in the foreseeable future, you just got to ride them out for when they actually get an attacking stat. Because if we value a trade at about 100K, which is a pretty basic calculation, you want to be making at least that from the guy who you go to. And because they're so attack reliant, you just can't pick who's going to go big when. So I think you just got to ride it out unless they get hurt or something significant happens to their role or their team.
Yeah, exactly right. And you mentioned Staines before, who's almost 300K and has 21 points combined across the first couple of weeks. I can see the argument to getting rid of him. He comes up against Penrith. He comes up against Melbourne on Thursday night, which are just notorious for low scores, Supercoach scores. So it could be another rough one. I can't play him, but I also can't get rid of him knowing what the Panthers have ahead of him.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, I'm not playing him either, but he was a popular option for a reason because he scored like six tries in a game and a half last year. Like, I know it was on the other side of the field, but like, that's what he's got in him. So we can only imagine him, one of the best attacking sides with one of the best draws, that at some stage he's going to come good. He might drop, I don't know, 50K or something over that time, but you'd have to think he makes it back with a couple of good performances. And really, who are you going to? Like, the other not so highly owned options are Mead, who has a negative break even now, but he really came back to earth after being pretty popular. You've got Sebastian Chris, who
gone now.
Not there because Jared Croker's back. So unless you're flipping him for like up for like a Ryan James via Capewell or something, there's not a huge amount of places you can go.
Yeah, and
unless you've just like blatantly skipped one of the other cheapies who you should have.
Exactly, that was going to be my next point. If you're not on Dane Laurie or Tessie Niu for whatever reason, this is your chance. Get them in now. And if it means trading Staines, I'd say do it. You're going to miss out on a lot of cash for not having those guys. Staines' break even is 74. So even if he bags a try, maybe two this weekend, he's not going to move the needle a whole lot. And he's going to have that 10 in his rolling average for another week. It'll cost a couple trades, but if he goes bang this week and next week, you could always get him back in and it won't have cost you too much cash.
Yeah, and I guess the good thing with him is, like, last round score wasn't great. Well, neither of them were, but at least the first one's only in his rolling average for this week, basically. So, like, if he bags a try or something against Melbourne, then goes on a bit of a run, that first score's not going to weigh down his price too much. The second one will hang around for a bit, but I mean, we've picked him for a reason. He's an attacking guy with low base. We've seen the low base, so now we just want to see the attack.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll move off kissing his ass now. But before we do, in the next 6 weeks, he plays Manly twice, the Broncos and the Sharks. So there's a good chance of some attacking stats coming up there against those guys. Moving on, we've got a bunch of cheaper guys. Little stands out to me as someone who's far exceeded expectations. He scored a try in each week and he's averaging, 70 points or something like there or thereabouts.
Yeah, just under.
Just under. So the concern I have with Little is that he played just 51 minutes. Mbai there on the bench as the utility came on. I was talking to Wenin earlier who mentioned he may have had a HIA, but I must admit I missed this game. Have you got any intel on that?
No, I was trying to find some info on it. He did cop a knock, but, I mean, I think with Mbai in that utility role, we were expecting him to come off anyway. And, looking at his role at a guy who's under 250K, I think my expectation going in was 50 to 55 minutes. And if he got anything more than that, then I'd be cheering. So I'm cheering. He played 80 and he's got a couple of tries. He's going to go up a fair bit in price. So I can't ask much more of him there. I had to play him last week and he rewarded me with 66. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy with our old mate Little at the moment.
How good does it feel when you just fall into that sort of score? It's brilliant. Negative 52 break even. So his price is going to skyrocket. Hopefully we can get some cheapies coming through the ranks in the next couple of weeks or even a fallen gun somewhere along the lines. And you might be able to, flick him. You'd be really happy with flicking him onto someone. I was going to say Cook, but he had himself a game as well this past week.
Oh, yeah, he turned it around, didn't he? Jeez.
Yeah.
One
of the most traded out players after round one. So
make you feel sick, eh?
Such as Supercoach. Who are the other must-have guys in your estimation?
Jordan Rickey, I think everyone's got him anyway, so no point talking too much about him. But, he's got a negative 26 break even. You've got the popular sort of front row bench options of Stefano and Spencer Leniu, who both have negative break evens, and they've probably overperformed maybe based on what I thought. I was thinking maybe, real slow burns, but they're both looking like pretty good options, averaging 33.5 for Stefano and over 40 for Leniu. So they're working out pretty well. If we're stretching it a little bit, you've got Watson, who I think, even though he's come off the bench the last couple of rounds, it's great options. Ryan James, I wanted nothing to do with him on the initial team that I put out with his, wasn't sure of his match fitness, wasn't sure of his knees, wasn't sure of his role, but he's brained at these first couple of games and has a negative 52 break even, but I don't think I'll be able to get him in with the other moves I need to do now.
He's been brilliant. Again, I was talking to the guys and he's been a huge regret of mine. I talked him up in the mega guide. I was very high on him. I thought the Raiders have gone out and got him for a reason. But, there was those question marks around his health and fitness, so I ended up bypassing, and he's really made me pay for it. But another negative 50 break-even. He's at less than 240K, and as we stand, he's the second most traded-in player this round, and I can't say I blame anyone, but...
No, absolutely not. If you're in a position where you can do it, I reckon you just do it. Even if he does regress a little bit to maybe 30s or 40s, he's going to make you just based on his current break, even over 100K in real quick fashion. And then you can maybe flick him on. So definitely don't hate that move at all.
No, it's good. And so it's something I was looking at, but with Matto being an out for me, it's hard to justify going from that type of price down to James just to, for a bit of cash generation.
Oh, that Matto one's a killer. I actually, as you know, because we've spoken about it, I had Barnett in the Matto position in my side game day.
That's right.
And then I got cold feet on not having Matto against the Broncos and restructured my side. I think I had Barnett and Josh Jackson and I flicked, like, I downgraded Jackson to someone and then upgraded Barnett to Matto, and I would have been laughing if I'd just stayed the course, but I got a little bit scared and I'm paying for it now.
Yeah, see, that's what you get for asking our advice. I think I talked you out of it. I was really high on Matto and I had a few question marks over Barnett, so I've given you a bum steer on that one. I'm sorry, mate.
Having Kurt Mann flashbacks to last season, mate.
Oh, tell me about it. Isaiah Yao.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah, let's not get away from that one. There's a guy that's standing out in that sub 300K front row, Hetherington. I know a fair few people were on him, but a 33 break even coming into this week, and he's got scores of 33 and 34 from his first 2 weeks at 56 minutes a game. It's just, he's been awful for Supercoach.
Yeah, he was a popular one in that sort of Matt Lodge like price bracket when everyone was trying to go cheap and nasty at front row with maybe one premium, one like Lodge or Hetherington or thereabouts price player, and then the two super cheap guys. But yeah, that PPM for a middle rotation player is atrocious, and he just has to be moved on. I think probably Hetherington to James would be one of the most popular trades if you haven't moved him on already for those who had him.
Couldn't agree more, mate. That's exactly what I'd be doing if I had Hetherington. I'd be flicking him down, getting 60K and getting, much more than 60K after this weekend.
Yeah, interesting. He's not in the top 10 most traded out that I can see on this list we've got here. So either people have moved him on or maybe not as many brought him in as thought.
I was going to say, you'd have to assume that he wasn't that popular to begin with, but I know a few people were on, so... Hopefully you weren't one. Hopefully you avoided. But if you did, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Get rid of him.
Yeah, that's it.
There's one guy I wanted to ask you about, Terrell Fuimoano. Did you get on again this year?
No, I didn't get on him this year. So, for those, like, I think it's already been mentioned in some of the preseason pods, but he was my guy when I got timed out for Bradman Best last year. Because I just simply forgot to do the trade after I tweeted the final team. I put my phone down, walked away, and remembered as I heard the boys running out. The only other option for that center position was Fuimoano, and, you know, edge second row playing at center wing, goldmine, right? But he's a cheapie every single year for a reason, and I just couldn't go near him this year, particularly at just a static second row. He's been doing pretty well.
Yeah, so he's proven a few of us wrong, but not too wrong that I think he's a must-have. So if you started with him, great news. If not, don't stress.
Yeah, I definitely. If you started with him, you're laughing, but I wouldn't bring him in if you don't have him already. I don't think he's going to make enough cash to actively burn a trade to bring in someone of his sort of low base and, yeah, money-making potential at this stage. Unless you literally have no other problems in your team and you can make it work.
If you have no other problems in your team, just save the trades.
Yeah.
Why waste them?
Yeah, if you've got no problems in your team, you've probably done well and you're not the type of person who's considering bringing them in anyway, so.
All right, mate. We might take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll look at some of the more expensive guys who might be luring a few people in this week.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Stylesy, we're back, mate. Looking at some boom or bust players, some trap city guys, and JT and I spoke about this last week, and I found a little something to get us going. Give me a...
That does have JT written all over it.
That's got JT written all over it. He's so gangster up in Townsville. Boom or bust, we've spoken about Barnett before. Looks like a great option. He's the third most traded in guy at the moment. Second roller who goal kicks, Corey Parker-esque. Is there any reason you can see not to have him?
Not at this stage. He's kicking, he's scoring tries, he's reasonably priced. If you're a Matto owner, it frees up 120K to fix up another spot in your side potentially. And like I alluded to earlier, there is every chance that he just keeps the goal-kicking duties ahead of Ponga when he's back if he keeps slotting them at the rate he has. And he's a real, like, high-confidence dude. I remember before it got announced, he was taking over the duties when it was between him and Tex Hoy, and Hoy was preferred. Apparently, the quote was Barnett said something like, it's not over yet, let me have the kickoff or something, and they kicked off, and he just, like, obviously here we are now. So he's a high confidence guy. No, I like him. I'm bringing him in.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. As you said, 550K. He's got a negative break even, so he's going to earn some cash too. And if he does lose the goal kicking to Ponga when he comes back, which is still a possibility, but seeming more and more that he's going to keep it, even if he does lose it, he'll have earned a good chunk of cash, and you could maybe trade him for a Matto when he gets his head right and gets back in the game.
Yeah, I think that's a great move. Like you said, worst case, he'll probably make us. He could make us $100,000, like in a few weeks if he keeps up the rate he's at now. So definitely a phenomenal option. Second, what did I see before? He's like the second highest averaging second rower behind Crichton or something like that. So,
well, Crichton's played one game and scored 98, so that probably doesn't surprise.
Yeah, definitely. No, I can't think of too many reasons not to bring him in unless you legitimately can't afford it.
No, that's it. The next couple of guys I've got on my list here, potential hookers. And when I say potential hookers, I've got Ben Hunt here who can be swung between that and halfback. I know a few people, we spoke about him before, 2% ownership, and a lot of people are jumping on him after a score of 116. He's at the same sort of price range as Reid Mahoney, who also has a massive negative break even and is playing out of his skin at the moment. Or for a saving of 100K, and the best break even of the lot of them is Jaden Brayley. Where would you be throwing your hat?
I'm throwing my hat on Brayley, as I think a lot are. That extra 100, 120K definitely makes a difference, even if not this week, if you're just freeing up cash this week, maybe next week or the week after. Having said, though, I think some people, there's a legitimate strategy out there where you bring in the higher price guy still with a negative break even, and it makes the bridge to Harry Grant when he's back a little bit shorter and maybe a week or two sooner. So there is that sort of strategy that I can see. I think I saw a couple of people talking about it, actually just copping the higher price, making the cash, and then making the leap, the maybe direct leap to Grant in a few weeks' time. But for me, I can't make the money work on those guys, but I was probably leaning Brayley anyway. He's looked phenomenal. I was a little bit concerned coming off that injury, so I didn't start with him. And I thought he was going to play 80, but I wasn't sure if he'd be a little bit hampered or hesitant or whatever. But he's just picked up right where he left off last year in his one or his two games, but 1.5 with healthy legs.
Oh, that's it. Played better part of his second half with a torn ACL and still knocked up an 80 score. He's been just magic since he's been at the Knights. But I had the same concerns. He's not been a huge scorer previously.
Before that at the Sharkies, his average as a starter was 45.7. And I'm pretty sure his first game with the Knights last year was only like low 40s as well. So to me, the 72, I've just found his profile now from last year. He got 72 in that second game where he tore his ACL, which led to that high-looking average. I thought the 72 was the outlier, so I was kind of high on him. Then I drifted off a bit when I looked into it a bit more, like based on that performance. But he's just braining it this year, so just going to bring him in if just for the price rise, if nothing exactly. else. But he's definitely at play with the Knights draw.
And that's the point I was going to bring up. He could be just taking advantage of the Knights draw, who have Wests this week, then the Dragons in round four before a tougher game in round five, if I can bring it up in time.
Titans
in round five, which will be a hard game now. They're looking really good. But then go on to play the Sharks before a couple of harder games in Penrith, Roosters and Raiders. So there could be a very nice run of points over the next 3 to 4 weeks for those sorts of players before you look to cash them out, as you said, to a Harry Grant, who's due back in about 3 weeks, you said, and then a couple of weeks after that he'll be looking, potentially dropping price, depending on how he's going.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, even when he's back, you don't have to make the trade right away. So if we're saying, I think I read like minimum round five. So if we say round six is his first game back, Brayley still has the Sharks that round. And then, so that'll be Grant's first game is, then he's got the Panthers and then you can, then it'll be Grant on the bubble. So you can see where he's at. So potentially only one game there against Penrith that's going to be particularly challenging for him. And at that stage, you're right on the precipice of seeing whether you want to make that leap straight to Grant. So I think it's pretty good timing. And that's assuming round six back for Grant and not round five. So we could perfectly have that draw marry up with the straight swap. So that's what I'm hoping for.
And that's, as you said, round six for the Storm and Harry Grant is up against the Roosters. So that's going to be a tough one. But then from round seven, the Storm play the Warriors, Sharks, Bunnies, Dragons, Raiders, then Broncos. So it's a really good run post his return. And if he's back and healthy, that his legs are okay. What did he do? Did he do a knee or is it his shoulder that he's hurt?
I'm pretty sure his knee. Now you've
yeah, no, I'm blanking. I'm blanking. That's on me. I'll take that one. But, yeah, no, so it's a good run for him. And either way, you'll be wanting to get him in at one stage anyway. So, Brayley, I can understand the Mahoney option in that respect. He'll throw another 100K on his price just over the next 2 to 3 weeks. So they'll be pushed up towards 600. And he'll be a straight swap for those top guys, the Cooks or Grants anyway. So if you've got the money there, I can definitely see that quick turnaround.
Yeah, and if they just keep going, like, you might hold on to him. I'm pretty sure both of them, like him and Brayley and Marnie, both play that first bye. So at a stretch, if they're both going okay, you can maybe just keep him around a bit, maybe free up some cash elsewhere and upgrade your Jacob Little to Harry Grant and run a Grant and Brayley or Grant and Marnie combo if it all works out.
And if they're putting up those sort of scores, you'll be laughing with that combination.
Yeah, 100%.
Moving on, I've got a couple of Chooks players here. Keary, who's come out of the blocks huge the first couple of weeks. He's averaged 97 and setting up all the tries. He just ran right on the Tigers' left defense there. But, I mean, you or me could have run through the defensive effort Joey Leilua was putting up.
That was disgraceful.
It didn't even look like he was trying. Didn't honestly just had given up. But for those people with maybe running a Cleary Sam Walker combination, you know, enough in halfback, you're looking at a donut this week. Would you be tempted to go to Cleary and bank 200K?
Luckily, I've got Fogarty as my backup half, so worst case, I can plug him in and find points elsewhere. But if I was a Cleary and Walker owner, the temptation would definitely be there. I'm a bit gun shy on trades at the moment just because we had so many last year, and I think people might be coming out pretty strong just expecting to have the two per week like we experienced. I'd be leaning towards just copping your AE and just saving that trade, but I can definitely see the appeal. Like Cleary, he killed it last week, and with that negative break even, he could he could make a bit of coin and then be swapped back. The only thing would be that's your two trades gone out of your total, so you'll run out a little bit sooner.
Yeah, exactly right. And it's something I'm trying really hard to do this year after failing last year with max trades. You could just flick guys at a whim last year. And it ended up costing me guys like Teddy, where I brought him in and he got knocked out. And so I flicked him and then I struggled to get him back in, those sorts of moves. I'm not going to do that this year. So even with if Cleary's missing, I don't see the point in moving him for a week or two.
Yeah, you want if we're doing that loose valuation of 100K per trade, you want Cleary to make 200K to make it even on par, just to bring Cleary back in. So, yeah, just something to keep in mind if you're considering that.
That's it. Lindsay Collins has really come out strong too. Low 400s. He's got a break even of only 3. He's averaged just under 70. But it's front row only. With guys like, as we said, Hetherington before, underperforming, Matt Lodge, if you're making a little bit of money or have made a little bit of money from the Maddow move or something like that, would you be looking at possibly bringing in Lindsay Collins?
Potentially. Like, he has definitely done well, and I'm just really excited for the front row halfback dual position next year based on all those tries he was setting up on the weekend. But he's at an awkward price. Like, he's at a price point where you've got your Tupanuas, like, for a little bit more you've got your Welches and that sort of thing. And being front row only, if you've got a Takiaho and like a Welch or a Tino, which is pretty common, you're not going to trade those to Collins. If you've missed out on Leniu and Stefano, I think you have to have them as the cheaper guys. So really the only people looking at him would be like the Hetherington owner, or if someone wasn't able to get Lodge out, or you've got to offer Higdy Ogden or someone who you need to get rid of. You've got to find, you've got to free up 100, 150K to make that happen. So I think it's a pretty tricky position to be in. I'd just bring in a Ryan James or something if you don't have him.
Yeah, and there's nothing to say that he's going to keep these scores up. He's looked fantastic, but it is a risk, you're right, and he's at that awkward price range.
And his minutes went down. He had 62 in the first game but 51 last round, and he was propped up by 16 through creative stats and 14 through evasion stats. So particularly the creative stats I don't see continuing, and he had a base of 49. So, I don't know. And you've got...
Yeah, no.
You've got guys like Radley coming back. You got Verrills on the horizon and a couple of things
Crichton's
kicking around
this
there.
Week.
Crichton's back this week. So there's a bit happening in that pack. So he's
Jesus, a strong side.
Oh, yeah, that's disgusting, isn't it, where you go, oh, I've lost Crichton for a week, but I can just bring in, like, whoever you want, like Butcher, and you've got all these other, like, rep-level players just waiting in the wings. It's definitely a good problem to have.
And meanwhile, your boys up here in Brisbane are struggling with cap pressure at the moment with the side that they've got.
We're struggling with cap pressure. We're trying to stave off people from re-signing Tommy Dearden, but won't give him a run in the side that hasn't won a game yet. And we're letting, like, future stars just walk away to the Warriors and then doubling down on, like, other players. Yeah, I don't know. I'm in all sorts just thinking about it.
Well, you signed Jordan Rickey for a couple of years today, so
yep,
you can
happy
have
with
a drink
that.
And celebrate that one.
Yep, happy with that.
Is there anybody else we should be looking at, you know, anywhere across the board?
Well, I think we've got on the run sheet, it just says Milford Trapp, so I think
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that in. That made me laugh.
I think that says everything we needed to see there after he had a phenomenal game in that first round and then was basically invisible that next round. Yeah, if we're looking at some of the other traded guys, I think we've covered off most of them, particularly in that cheaper category. Probably another one that stands out a little bit is Sitili Tupanua, 410K. We were pretty concerned about his base heading in, but I guess you don't need base when you've got three or four tries in two games, and another one that was disallowed, and he could have had even more. So he looks like a reasonable moneymaker as well in that sort of 400k price range.
Yeah, and just very reliant on attacking stats is Satili.
That's why I didn't bring him in initially, but he's just had the attacking stats. So
well, he's in the Roosters, and they're just full of attacking stats. It's, you know, there's enough to go around for everybody, it seems, but you just wonder when that's going to dry up.
Well, just look at Brett Morris, who no one was going near because he was probably the biggest regression candidate in the last few years of Supercoach, and he's not
top
slowed down whatsoever.
At the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, outrageous. So they just have points in him. That's just the team they are.
And surely he's not going to retire next year. He keeps getting better and better.
Like a fine wine, mate, and it hurts me to say that as a Queenslander, but he's lovable. He is lovable.
He is. It's hard not to like the Morris Brook twins. Consider, I've got twins of my own, mate, and I was just telling them the other day about the Morris twins.
Brett and Josh?
Yes. No, not the NBA ones. I can't stand those ones.
Yeah. Definitely not.
Now, future problems, any future problems that we've got coming up. We spoke earlier about Payne Haas coming back into the lineup next week. His suspension was for 3 rounds. Is that right?
Yep.
So he's back. He'll be one that everybody's going to be looking at, seeing how he goes. There was a lot of talk in the preseason about his minutes being limited a little bit so he can try and get his work rate up. I'm not sure the Broncos can afford to have him off the park at any stage.
Yeah, I think the lower minutes was the perfect world where we were not how we are right now. But even then, look at his 2019. He averaged 64 minutes for a 78 average, and last year was 72 minutes for a 75 average. So you can definitely see he upped his work rate in those shorter minutes. So I don't think the average is going to be a problem. And we get... He's back next round, so we get 2 free rounds to look at him and potentially an extra 2 rounds of price rises for someone like a Christian Welch or someone who you've got in that front row position. I think the goal for me was to always have sort of one of those mid-range price guys who can make a bit of cash to make that bridge easier and quicker for when Haas is back, because he's definitely who you want in that front row rotation along with someone like a Takiaho or a Junior Paulo or one of those guys.
So being a Broncos man, with Haas coming back, what does that do to TPJ? Because he's been absolutely killing it the first 2 weeks. He had 100 last weekend, thanks to a late try, which won me a stack of cash, I might add. But how does that inclusion affect him? Where does he play? That going to be the two boys in the middle?
Yeah, well, he was a funny one, in the preseason, there was talk of him coming off the bench, and then he was training at lock, but playing a bit on the edge, and it was kind of all over the joint, really. So I'd like to say that there's a definite position where everyone rotates through when Haas is back, but who knows these days? Based on how they're going, I'd be happy just seeing him staying at the eight. We know Lodge is out for a bit, and just put Flegler back on the bench and run with a front row rotation of Pangai and Haas. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, fair enough. So then Carrigan obviously loses a fair bit of time. Or will he stay at lock, do you think? It's a funny forward mix-up there. They've got a lot of big-minute middle guys and not that many minutes to go around.
Yeah, you'd have to, Lodge was one who we all thought was going to get bigger minutes, but if he's already got injury problems when he comes back, you'd have to imagine it's just in lower minutes off the bench, because he was hurt last year, he's hurt already this year. I think lower minutes for Carrigan was on the cards until we've seen these sort of rotations. I was always expecting him to regress, so I don't think that's going to be the biggest surprise if that happens. But, yeah, I'm just talking from a what I want to see point of view right now, and I'm happy to see Pangai stay at front row with Haas and then have Flegger off the bench and have someone like Ben Teo drop out and something like that.
Oh, in a perfect world, man. In a perfect world, Ben Teo shouldn't be back.
Which isn't where we live in our Broncos land, unfortunately.
Well, as a Broncos hater, it's been pretty freaking good, I mean, I'll tell you. We've got a couple of young boys coming through in the halves. We've got Josh Schuster, 5'8 only at 203K, but he's playing in the second row with all their injuries. scored a 46 last week in 76 minutes coming on for Andrew Davey, who just unfortunately has done his ACL and now gone for the year. Schuster presents a really nice downgrade option for Moylan, but it's not a move you have to make this week with Schuster only playing the one game. Is that someone you're looking at?
Oh, absolutely. I can be corrected if I'm wrong here because I don't follow the lower grades that much, but I'm pretty sure he was playing on the edge for the lower grade side, so it's not a new position for him, even though we think of him more as a 5'8" or even sort of a utility sort of player, because I'm pretty sure he is a bigger body. I think Moylan to Schuster is on the cards if we get more of week two Matt Moylan than week one Matt Moylan, where he looked like a really good option. So definitely one to keep an eye on there.
And no concerns about Curtis Sirenin coming back in just a couple of weeks?
There's definitely concerns with that, but with Davey out and like Joel Thompson gone, like I think it'll be a close watch to see between Schuster and Gashevsky this week who performs better, because Gashevsky he gets a few tries, but his work rate's not really there. And like if Schuster goes really well, like Manly's not doing well, do you leave him there and maybe have Sirenin come back and they're the edge pairing or something? It's all crystal ball stuff at this stage, but at least we get a look at him again this week to see how well he performs, because if he doesn't perform well, then you can probably put a line through him, but he might be worth the risk even with Sirenin coming back if he bangs out a good score.
Yeah, hard to skip at 200k, isn't he? We didn't have that many cheapies to start the year, so he's you know, it's a bad timing for him, but it's going to be hard to miss. You got a feel for Eagles fans too. They came into the season with one of the worst rosters and have just copped injuries and got worse. But
they've just been decimated, haven't they?
As much as it's fun to hang shit on Manly, it's got to be a hard watch for them. But light at the end of the tunnel, Turbo is just around the corner, guys. He'll add some starch into you.
Could there be a bigger upgrade than Tommy Turbo coming back and replacing Dylan Walker at fullback?
Oh, I was surprised Dylan Walker's still playing first grade at this rate.
Yeah.
Sean O'Sullivan, one of your ex-boys, 230K, halfback only. With CHT out, he's got himself roughly 12 weeks to really cement a role in the team, but Paul Turner's hanging around on the bench. What do you make of the combination there?
Yeah, well, I had the worries in the mega guide, and he was a guy who I said, won't get a run unless there's a few injuries. And I did more of a write up on Paul Turner, who had an immediate impact in his debut last year, and he could have had a double, but he was rightly disallowed the two tries, but in like 3 minutes. So I thought he would have been the one to slot in, but O'Sullivan's found himself in that spot. So I'd be a little bit worried about Turner on the bench, since I think out of the two, he is a better prospect. But O'Sullivan's come through, I think it was Panthers camp, and was impressive in the juniors and that sort of thing, and just hasn't really had a chance to cement himself full-time in first grade, which he has now. So obviously coach has seen something in him and wants to give him that first crack over Turner. So see what he can do. Halfback only is tricky, because if you bring him in, like if you're a Cleary Walker owner, you're not going to downgrade Cleary if he's out for Sean O'Sullivan and have O'Sullivan and Walker. You're not going to upgrade Walker to O'Sullivan. So it's probably only a CHT owner who has Moylan, or who has him at a halfback and Moylan at 5'8" or something, who's going to look to make that move. But I don't know. I can't see too many bringing him in outside of maybe draft.
I can see the appeal this week with if Cleary's out and Walker's out. So he might be a cut price option to get you some points in that position. But you're right, it's almost worse, a waste of a trade, spending the 50K to go up to him and not knowing how long he's going to be there or how he's going to perform. We have no sample size of how he plays at the Warriors, how he's got those combinations going. So it could be just bad news. And Turner, from everything I have heard and read about Paul Turner, is he's the future of the Warriors in the halves. And I was a bit surprised not to see him named, that O'Sullivan was ahead of him on the pecking order, because Turner's got huge wraps on him, and I think he should be taking over sooner rather than later. And it's not just the super coach in me that wants the cheap 5'8" slash center wing to come in and play, but the kid's a star and he should be playing first grade.
Yeah, the only thing I can see is potentially like the Warriors, they're in seventh at the moment. So throwing Turner in after he's played one game versus O'Sullivan, who like hasn't cemented his first grade side, but he has been through the system for a while. He is more experienced and is a bit older. If they're in seventh and they see themselves making a push, maybe they put more faith in sort of a veteran's probably the wrong term in this scenario, but the guy who's been around a bit longer and is a little bit more established than, like, if they're coming 14th or like in the bottom of the table, maybe they just give Turner the reins. But that's, I'm just trying to find some logic in, and I think that makes sense based on their latter position.
It does. It does. You make an excellent point. And say it's still early in the year, so it could be just trying to get Turner some runs in the legs and integrate him into the team slowly off the bench. The next phase, the best thing in Supercoach is a fallen gun, and we've got plenty of them crashing down to earth at the moment. You know, Maddow's, after his head knock and his half a game, he's on a 126 break even. Nofo's had a couple of quiet ones, so he's around 140 break even. Brimson's up there as well, DCE. Who are you going to be targeting in the next few weeks as prices just drop?
I think it'll entirely depend on who's peaking at the right times. Like if we've got a center wing who just like say a Tessie Niu who just has a couple of blockbuster scores at an unmaintainable level and just goes up heap in price, and I'll probably look to bring in one of these fallen center wings. If there's not much doing that position, then do I look at a Welch upgrading somewhere, or flicking Tino to front row and Welch to say Matto when he's back? Or there's plenty of options, and it's probably the most exciting time in Supercoach, right? Planning out the rest of the season. Like up until this point, we've just been trying to get team structure right, but now it becomes the game of managing your break evens, managing your cash, and trying to build up that capital.
It's a stock market. And those points. Supercoach stock market.
Yeah, 100%. So I guess, yeah, for me, I'm just going to keep an open mind and see who's peaking and troughing at the right times, because ideally you want to do these in one trade, right? You don't want to have to downgrade one to do another. So if someone's looking like they're going to match up in a couple of rounds, I'll definitely write that down and try and make it happen.
Yeah, it's still, if you're trying to trade a Tessie Niu straight to David Nofo-Aluma, you're going to struggle. You're going to have a huge bank.
Yeah, or make another move that round.
Yeah, exactly right. So it is exciting. As someone who wasn't on Nofo last year and just watched him become unattainable from a very, very early stage, it's nice to see him heading in the other direction, and I can grab him at some stage. That'll be good.
Yeah, it'll feel good. It'll make up for last season a little bit.
I hope so, because I'm still fighting an uphill battle as we speak.
Yeah.
So we've got through a lot there, mate. All things considered, what are your plans for this week? We spoke about a little bit. You said you were targeting Barnett, Brayley. Is that the trades you're looking at making?
Yeah, I can't see myself really straying away from that unless they have training mishaps and aren't going to suit up. So I think I'm doing what's probably the most popular, and looking at the most popular trades here, it is the most popular. Ryan Madison to Mitch Barnett. Freeze up a bit of cash. Madison, like, we know he's out at least this round, and with his history with concussions, it wouldn't surprise me to see him miss a bit of time. And then I'm going to do a Lockie Lamb up to Jaden Brayley, which I imagine would be it's the eighth number most eight. Popular trade this round as well. It pains me to miss out on cash rises from guys like Ryan James, but I only have two trades, and at this stage I need the points and the cash generation, and Brayley and Barnett both give me that.
Yeah, so it's hard to pass that up.
Gives me another 92.5K in the kitty for a potential move next week or in the coming weeks too.
It's nice to have that cash and that freedom. For me, I'm doing the same. I'm doing Mitch Barnett up to Madison. As you said, number one trade at the moment, 2,196 people have made that same trade. Number two on the list is Matt Moylan out to Jaden Brayley. That's also my second trade. So I'm going very vanilla this week, getting a couple of my boys in, going for that that price rise. And as you said, I'm banking something, you know, hundreds plus K for some future moves. Captain, vice-captain, who you got this week?
I don't think the captaincy is going to leave James Tedesco unless there's a real reason for that to happen. Like, even in the wet, like, everyone was making the case to – I think everyone's finding reasons to not captain him last round, and talking about the wet, and obviously he killed it. Like, as you'd know as an NBA fan, those years when people were finding reasons not to give LeBron James MVP just because they were bored with it. So I'm just going to stay the course with Teddy indefinitely. VC, I've got tentatively on Cleary, but obviously if he doesn't play, that's moot. Even though they're playing the Storm, he's obviously – pretty dangerous option every time. But honestly, I haven't been looking too closely at VC because I don't see myself not keeping it on Teddy unless someone drops an absolute bonanza score. So I'll probably move that around a little bit over the course of things, but not as concerned with it at the moment.
Yeah, for those that might be concerned about Teddy's matchup with South this week, he played them twice last year for 103 and 72. Before that, he's had 78, 23, 57, 60, 59, 126, 71, and 57 over the last few years. So definitely puts up points on them still. And we've seen what he can do. He played, obviously a weaker Manly side week one and just destroyed them. Played in horrible wet conditions last week and destroyed the Tigers. So it could be another bloodbath for Teddy. It's hard to go past him. It really is. It's going to be... I feel bad for anybody who didn't start with him. Jeez, it must be tough to watch football.
Oh yeah, it was a mental health thing for me more than anything, more than Bryce or anything else. And looking at the table you sent through earlier, he's the ninth most traded in player, even though a lot of us already own him. So that's the people who are just wanting to watch football again.
Yeah, exactly right. And people coming up with all that cash to trade in an 840K. guy. I guess the assumption was that he was going to drop cash because you couldn't go up from that point, but he's proven everybody wrong.
Yeah, and it's the age old, if you're not sure, bring in the higher price guy, and if he bombs you can downgrade, but if they go ballistic it's a lot harder to upgrade. And I think about it these days is, what's going to make me feel sicker? I captain Teddy against South and he gets 75, so 150 with captain, which is a great score, or I don't captain him and he gets 150.
Yeah, you'd be kicking yourself.
And who's going to, if you put on someone else, who can you confidently say is going to outscore him even when he's playing Souths? Like,
yeah, and what makes it really hard this week is that Cleary concerns, because if you wanted to try and loop Teddy, Cleary or, you know, Sam Walker might be your option to do that. But Walker plays in the same game and Cleary plays before him, so there's no clear way to run that loophole this week.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just leaving
it. Set
and forget.
In.
It's truly set and forget. Like, when you asked me who'd I VC, I didn't even know, and I think it's just on Cleary from last week. That's how much I've been thinking about options other than just straight
mate,
C on
may
Teddy.
As well VC in because Teddy's going to kill it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, mate, that sort of brings us to the end. Thank you very much for coming on here. As you said, JT's out, so it was great to be able to jump on and have a chat with you. I really enjoy talking footy with you. Even though you're a Broncos fan, we can look past that.
We can look past it, mate.
Exactly. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we call it a night?
No, I think we've covered all the main things. I guess just for anyone who's stuck in that, we need five trades again. Just think about what your team needs the most. Like, do you need points? Do you need cash generation? Do you need a combination? And just let that guide you. Like, if you've maybe stuffed up a couple of cheapies, then that's probably your priority over going bringing in like a Barnett. You might need to bring in a James and a Brayley or something like that. So just think about what your team needs rather than what everyone else is doing, because they might be in a different situation to yourself. So try and prioritize what you're looking at with your side. And it's only 2 weeks out of a long season. So even if you're a little bit down at the moment, anything can happen. Like, you might get on the right pot at the right time, or a popular player might go down, or you have a really lucky captaincy. So it's definitely not curtains after two rounds.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. It's a marathon, not a sprint. We've got another 23 weeks of this. Jeez, that's beautiful. I really like that. Thank you again, mate. I appreciate that. JT's not here this week, so I'm not going to play us out with his Cowboys song. Thought I'd go for something a little bit different. Sing along if you know the words. Good to have you on, mate.
Thanks, mate.
It's not going to play it now. Oh, good.
Outstanding.
Has the mail. Yeah, all right. Grisman Pat. Grisman Pat. And it's black and white cat.
Oh, outrageous. Outrageous.
Beautiful.
Scenes.
Thanks again, Stilesy. I'll talk to you later, mate.
I won't be back after that.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.